www.wuml.org worldwide.
I'm Chris Tilley, professor in the Department of Regional Economic and Social Development, and I'll be the moderator tonight. The event is sponsored by the Department of Regional Economic and Social Development here at UMass Lowell, as well as Rare Lowell Peace and Justice, the Alliance for a Secular and Democratic South Asia, and radio station WUML. So we've got a few people who are going to say a few words before we get to the main speaker, Biju Mathew. I just wanted to say that I'm certainly not an expert on Indian politics, but when I heard the news 2 years ago of the riots and pogrom in Gujarat, it certainly captured my attention. And when a close Indian friend told me about what her mother, who was still living in Gujarat, told her about what she had seen of Muslims being chased down and killed, of police standing by while this happened, it was clear that there was a serious problem, a serious issue that was going on in India. And really, I would say that my concern about this issue, it dates from that time. So without further ado, I actually want to invite Lynn Lupien from Greater Lowell Peace and Justice up to say a few words of greeting from Greater Lowell Peace and Justice. Say a little bit about who you are.
I'll be really short. Thanks for coming today. Greater Lowell for Peace and Justice is proud to co-sponsor this talk. Kartik Ramanathan has worked very hard to research this subject, and his commitment has been astounding. Greater Lowell for Peace and Justice was formed in March of 2003 at the beginning of the Iraq War, when many of us realized that our country, once again, would take up arms without justification. Sadly, we were correct, and to date, no weapons of mass destruction were found, while casualties on both sides continue to mount, and the future of Iraq and its people is increasingly more uncertain. But our message of peace and justice doesn't begin or end with the Iraq War. We believe our government should direct its resources to people's needs here at home, such as maintaining a strong public education system, a living wage, affordable housing, good environmental policies, and health care, just a little list. We oppose the erosion of our civil rights and all forms of racism. We are against the control of our democracy by powerful corporations. Increasingly, these freedoms and ideals have been jeopardized in our country by the consolidation of power in the hands of the few and the rich. Our aim is to educate the public about these issues. Just this past week, GOPJ, along with members of a wide and varied coalition, brought a resolution against the USA Patriot Act to the Lowell City Councilors. Luckily, it passed with a 6-3 vote, and the discourse, thank you. And more importantly, the discourse in the local media and the public broadcast of the two city council meetings where the debate was brought up brought this issue into a sharp focus where previously there had been no debate on the issue before. We also believe that we, as Americans, should not simply talk about bringing democratic values abroad, but that our actions overseas reflect these values. Our integrity has been compromised by the war in Iraq, the abuse of prisoners at Abu Ghraib, and increasingly by the way we implement the so-called war on terror. It is difficult in these times to both oppose terrorism and the way we fight it. And yet, if we don't speak out against injustice, wherever it might be found, then we are no democracy. Kartik brought his research and goals to our attention in regards to the IDRF, and bearing our mission statement in mind, which you can read at our website at greaterlowellpeace.org, we decided to go sponsor this event. Education is a key component of our work at GLPJ. Without awareness, there can be no examination, and without examination, there can be no justice.
Thanks, Lynn. Maybe I should say a little bit about the Department of Regional Economic and Social Development. Our priority is education, too. We offer a master's degree in the Economic and Social Development of Regions. It's an interdisciplinary degree designed both to train practitioners and people who want to go on for doctoral work with an interdisciplinary look at the key elements of regional development. But enough about that. We're very lucky to have here tonight, in addition to Biju Mathew, our featured speaker, Sriram Anantharayanan, I almost got it right, from the Alliance for Secular and Democratic South Asia. Sriram was worked as an emergency relief worker in Gujarat following the riots with a group called the Citizens Initiative, which was a coalition of NGOs that provided various kinds of help to those communities that had been destroyed by the riots. He also works with the Alliance for Secular Democratic South Asia and with the Asian Task Force Against Domestic Violence. So Sriram, if you could come up and talk a little bit about your experiences in Gujarat.
Thanks, Chris. Okay. All right, that's fine. Can everybody hear me? Okay. My name is Sriram, and before I talk about what I saw there and the work that I did and how it relates to the kind of funding that goes from countries outside of India to funding hate in India, I'd like to just say that while I bear no adherence to any religion or any god, the riots were conducted in my namesake. So the god that I have as my name was the god that the riots were conducted under. After my undergrad, After my undergraduate education in 2001, I decided to take a year off. I grew up in the town of Bangalore. That's in South India. You might all have heard of it because it's supposedly one of the IT, superpowers. So it's really known for its software technology, but actually it's much more than that. And I took a year off to work as a human rights worker. And around that time was when the riots broke out. So I applied for the position as an emergency relief worker with Citizens Initiative and went to Ahmedabad in Gujarat, where a huge amount of the abuses happened with CI in April, and the riots were still continuing at that time. And when I went in, the first thing that I noticed when the plane landed in Ahmedabad was that everything seemed so normal. It looked like Bangalore. It seemed like nothing had happened. It looked like any normal good metropolitan city in India. And then I came in the night, and then I got to work the next day morning, and then I realized that I had literally stepped into a whole other country. I just could not believe that a society could be so polarized. Ahmedabad has a river flowing through it called the Sabarmati River. And me and my team, we coined the phrase that the Sabarmati is not just a physical divide. Literally, the Sabarmati divides the city into the Muslim side and the Hindu side. The Hindu side is this really, really rich, lavish place where the airport was situated, which is why I guess I didn't see anything. And the Muslim side is this really poor, destitute place, a lot of slums where a whole lot of the riots happened. The place was literally razed to the ground.
We're actually going to have questions and answers after Biju speaks.
And you're more than welcome to ask me any questions. I'm going to be here the whole night.
Hope so. There's plenty of time.
No problem.
You know there's news on this.
And I started my work, and as I went on, I worked in five camps in the Gomtipur area. And what was astounding was just, the first thing I noticed was just the complete lack of state participation in any of the relief efforts. It was, the NGOs were facing this huge, huge roadblock with the state, and, in whatever services that we tried to provide, whatever relief work we tried to do, there was always huge, huge opposition from the state and from the police, from the local representatives, so-called representatives of the people. The kind of human rights abuses that I saw is astounding. I will never sleep well ever at night, and I still don't. People getting shot under police complicity, the police leading rioters, and Muslim children getting killed, Muslim women getting killed, Molotov cocktails that take time, take months, take weeks to prepare, were used. So it wasn't just a backlash. It wasn't just a backlash from Godhra, the event where Hindus were brutally burnt down in a carriage. It wasn't just a backlash. And I went in April, and the riots had started. The pogrom had started on February 28th, and it was still going. And when I was there, it had still gone on for a month and a half. It was only in the middle of June when there was some semblance of, you know, nonviolence happening in the city. So that means it went on for March, April, May, 3.5 months. No riot goes on for 3.5 months. Riots are one-off incidents that are controlled by the police as soon as it happens. It's only when there is state complicity with the organizations that are funding these riots, with the organizations that are carrying out these killings, can it go on for so long. I received threats to my life from VHP activists, from Bajrang Dal activists, from RSS activists. All of us received threats that you are working with Muslims, you are a Hindu, you are working with Muslims, you're an even bigger traitor to this country than they are. And if you don't stop working with them, we will kill you. I received threats from all three organizations. And where does this lead us? Now, why is this important here? I'll tell you why. Because a huge amount of the funding for these organizations comes from outside the shores of India. A huge amount. A majority of the funding does come from outside India. And without directly pointing fingers at anybody, that is what we are here to talk about, is how does this funding go? Do people know that they are funding this kind of hatred? Do people know that they actually, that the money that might be going for relief work or development work or, you know, education work is not in reality going to fund schools of hatred that are run by the RSS, by the VHP, by the Bajrang Dal? Do we know that? I don't think so. And I think that there is a certain element of hoodwinking that does happen here with respect to the way they solicit funds, the way that funds are solicited. It's done under the name of culture, it's done under the name of education, it's done under the name of relief and development. But little do people realize that where these funds are going. It's important to find out about what Ekal Vidyalaya does. It's important to find out about what the Vanvasi Kalyani Ashram does. It's important to find out what the IDRF, where their funds go. And I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm not even going to state outright that, you know, the IDRF might be directly supporting these organizations, even though I do think and I do know otherwise. But I'll let you folks decide that. And I ask you, you know, think carefully before you support these kind of activities. Think carefully about where these funds might be going. You know, the RSS was started off as a cultural organization. Look at what it's turned out today. Praveen Togadia, one of the main bigwigs in the RSS, said outright that, you know, there is nothing wrong with killing the Muslims in Gujarat because, you know, Muslim terrorists kill Hindus in India, in Kashmir. Is it right that Muslim terrorists kill Hindus in Kashmir? Of course not.
Yes.
Of course. It is wrong.
Yes.
It is wrong.
You're completely wrong.
I'm saying it's wrong.
What are you talking about? I'm from Gujarat.
We have a question period afterwards. Let's save it for them.
These are all false.
It is.
We are
Hindus are killing Hindus. That's what they're saying.
That's fine. Don't worry. I'm not bothered.
So talk to me.
Oh, really? I worked in Gujarat. That's cool.
Stop it. This is a university organization. You will have an hour for discussion. Let him talk.
Thank you. I'm pretty much coming to the end of my little preamble to Biju Matthews here. He has worked on this campaign much longer than I have, so he'd certainly be able to give you a lot more information about how these funds might flow to organizations funding hate in India. And really, I ask you to think about what has happened. I know what I saw. At one point in time, I couldn't believe that I was in India. You know, in Bangalore, we have tensions. We might have communal tensions, but it never happens like this. The police will come and stop it immediately. The state government will you know, give out all efforts to stop it immediately, regardless of the lack of infrastructure or the corruption that may permeate through the state government. And I could not believe that I was in the same country that I loved, I cherish, I will do anything for. With that, I pass it to Biju. And, oh, sorry, Karthik.
Well, let me introduce Karthik.
All right. Thank you.
I am going to state again that there's going to be a question period afterwards. We've tried to reserve a lot of time. Biju is hoping to limit his talk to 40 minutes. He's a professor like me, so he may end up running long, but there's definitely going to be some time for discussion afterwards because we realize there are a lot of views on this issue. I want to very quickly introduce Karthik Ramanathan, who, as Lynn said, has been the heart and soul of organizing this event. He's basically done it single-handedly with very little help from the rest of us, so I want to salute him. He's a graduate student in computer science here at UMass Lowell, and he'll introduce Biju. Karthik?
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for assembling. I would firstly like to thank our sponsors very much, the Greater Lowell Peace and Justice Alliance of Secular Democratic South Asia, Professor Tiley and the Regional Economics Social Development Department, and the school student radio station WUML. But I should say a special word of thanks to the Greater Lowell Peace and Justice. They have not just been a personal support, but last week their grassroots efforts to pass a resolution against the Patriot Act bore fruit to protect the rights of immigrants. I'd like to thank them for that. I would like to introduce our speaker, Biju Matthews. You know, Biju Matthews, of course, has seen the flyer. He is a professor of information systems at Rider University, New Jersey. He has a long history. Considering his life, it's a long history. For the past 10 years of working with people less privileged than him, and that's how it should be, I think. And he has been from 98 organizing the New York taxi workers, who are basically immigrants from Asian countries, Middle Eastern countries, who often get exploited in the streets of New York because the taxi medallions apparently cost $400,000. So it's apparent that the people who run the taxis don't own the taxis. They're exploited for basically raising money for the for whoever the wardens and the garage wardens and the others who actually run the place. And he's also the host of Global Movements Urban Struggles. It's a radio show on Pacifica radio station, New York. He's also had, being from India, he's also very well aware of the communal situation there and the rise of right-wing Hindu fundamentalist tendencies over the past couple of decades. There has been well researched and attempts by the right-wing Hindu groups in India to consolidate the diaspora living abroad. There's a huge Indian diaspora living abroad. India happens to be the number one exporter of professionals, engineers, doctors, who basically live in advanced countries like here, Lowell, United States, and other places. And there has been a concerted attempt to consolidate these groups to contribute to the neo-fascist Hindutva movement in India, which Sri Ram described. And he along with other Indians living in the United States, have formed a collective called the Campaign to Stop Funding Hate, which has played an important role in exposing the nefarious designs of the organizations in the U.S., which raise money for such groups. One of them happens to be the IDRF, which has a chapter at UMass Lowell. Without much further ado, I would like to give the stage on to Biju Matthews. Welcome.